So far, we're together. Now, here comes the part that presses the buttons, because everyone loves the androgynous form of it. You happen to have a feminine essence, which means as you grow from that second stage to the third stage, the feeling will be you are relinquishing your masculine to enjoy the masculine in other people, just because you are naturally more feminine than masculine. It doesn't mean you can't be as masculine as anyone. You can. It's just, it's like, it's not your deepest gift. It's not your heart's joy. It's a skill. You might enjoy doing it, but it's not the of your life. And so as you grow into the third stage, you may very well enjoy supposedly other body minds serving that body mind in a masculine way. So what it'll look like perhaps to others is that you've relinquished some of what you used to do for yourself, and you're enjoying the gift of others doing it for you. To you, it will feel like bliss. To you, it will feel like a larger way to live. To someone in the first stage, they'll think you're just like them. You're dependent on a guy. To someone in the second stage, they'll go, you're losing it, girl. You got to do it yourself. Keep up the walls. Keep up your protection. Do it all yourself. You worked so hard to be able to do it yourself. Don't give it up now. You know, you're falling. You're in love and you're losing it all, whatever. So in the third, it takes a third stage to recognize a third stage. The sign of a third stage woman is she enjoys masculine gifts. She doesn't need them. If there's no one around, hey, she could do it herself. But why bother? It's so damn stressful. Right? I mean, think of all the things that in the perfect world, say, you would be relieved of needing to do because somebody of utter integrity loved doing it. That's the third stage, where each of us are doing what we love doing completely, and therefore serving each other through our love, through our gift. You know, what I'm doing now, for instance, I'm doing because I have to do it. And if there was one person here, if there's no one here, I would be doing it with whoever, with the trees. And you're the same way. Unless you offer the radiance of your heart completely in your unique way, you will feel less than you actually are. When you offer that radiance completely, you might realize there's all kinds of things you'd rather not do, and that in fact that radiance attracts certain kinds of people or parts of certain kinds of people who would love to offer you whatever, and then receive your radiance as a gift back. You know, that's how the world works. We serve each other, not because we set out to in the third stage, but simply because that's the manifestation of our deepest gift. It's takes a lot of work, but the actual gifting is effortless. It's what you have to do to live full, alive, authentic, as somebody said. Did that address your question? It's a little bigger than your question, but if you need a man, you're in the first stage. If you're yearning for a man because you're so full of love and life and you know that there's a man who could match you and you're yearning for that depth of consciousness, not because you're weak and needy, but because you're so full and your need to give that love, your yearning is so deep, that's the third stage. So there's a huge difference between neediness and the yearning for being met by someone as conscious as you are, radiant and loving. Can you feel that? That's the difference between the first and third stage, and only someone who's had a taste of the third stage could tell that difference. Because if you've never had a third stage experience, all there is being dependent in the first stage or independent in the second stage. And there's no sense of that largerness in which someone's consciousness can be a gift with your radiance, and you can both open together deeper because of it. Okay? 1 second, there's a question here.
Why can't you be everything? Both masculine and feminine.
You can. You are everything. Just not equally everything. You might be. You might be a unique character who's exactly half feminine, half masculine. You might be. And so from that place, you know, everything I see, I'm going, yeah, but I am half and half. And that's fun. You might, like I say, about 10% of people are. But 90% of people aren't. And they suffer faking it. So if you might be one of these people, and if you are, then your gift is going to be naturally, lovingly, half radiance and half direction. That's what you'll love seeing boxing matches as much as you'll love seeing love stories on TV. They'll both turn you on just as much. They'll both enliven you just as much. That's like the sign. If you're truly balanced, then you literally would like, you would go two movies are playing, you would go to the war movie half the time, and you would go to the love story half the time. And, you know, if that's who you are, then you're one of the 10% of people who are naturally, your gifts are balanced. And that could be a beautiful thing. Your ideal partner will be balanced just like you. Because you don't want, you know, if you're really if you had an extreme feminine essence, every now and then you'd really like your partner to basically pick you up, throw you on the bed, rip off your clothes, and ravish you helpless. You're helpless. That would be like, yeah, I'd like that if you have a feminine. If you have a balanced essence, you'd rather talk. You might enjoy sex, but the sex will be much more like deep massage. Loving friends, loving each other, talking to each other lovingly, opening tremendously, but without this extreme masculine-feminine play of ravisher and ravishee. And so everyone enjoys all of those. Sometimes everyone enjoys making love like massage. Sometimes everyone enjoys making love like, you know, ravishers sometimes. The more extreme you are, the more you desire ravishment, masculine or feminine. The more balanced you are, the more you would actually open more and joy through just gentle, friendly lovemaking, not smashing each other up and biting and scratching and pinning. And so you don't have to say anything out loud, which you'd rather have. Now, you know, we all go through phases in our life, and it's very healthy to cultivate your masculine, your feminine. A lot of, for instance, men who work hard in their masculine for 40 or 50 years and make a lot of money go, I'm tired of making decisions. I'm tired of being directive. I just want to flow. And they just become flowers for 10, 15 years or 5 years, you know, enjoying life. They feel good not having direction. So it could be healing to balance yourself that way. You know, each individual I would have to address uniquely. I am generalizing because I want to address everyone as much as possible. You might also be somebody with a feminine essence who, for various reasons, have developed masculine around that, and maybe there's another phase yet to come. We could put a video camera on your sex life and see. Oh, who said that? There's a masculine statement. He said, go for it. The video camera. You know, see, the masculine loves to watch because the masculine is the observer, is the witness. And the masculine is witness consciousness. So masculine, you know, you go to a strip joint or something, and masculine people are sitting there going, oh, yeah. They're worshiping the feminine. You know, strip joints are just step-down versions of, like, you know, Hindu temples or something. Because you have women up there dancing, showing their radiance, showing their energy, showing their openness. And men worshiping them. And if you've never been to a good strip joint, you don't know what I'm talking about. But men worship these ladies. They're going, I love you, baby, baby. Oh, God, yeah. Oh, show it to me, show it. I mean, if you put them in a Hindu temple, they'd be saying the same thing. You know, oh, watch me, show me, show me. You know, this kind of quality of wanting to see the feminine radiance. And so that's just a domain. It's a first stage domain. Because it's basically, you know, tit jobs and stuff and men putting dollar bills as worship. So it's like the first stage is exchange, but it's a first stage form of worship. And a third stage form of worship, men would still worship the radiance of women, and they do. Men worship feminine radiance. That's what makes men tick, essentially. And men are at home in absolute nothingness. And it's that combination of being at home in nothingness and worshiping the feminine that causes more confusion in men's and women's life than anything at all, which I hope we've begun to address now. Because what happens is, should we go into this or not?
Yeah.
The masculine exists in a space of nothingness. And when the masculine witnesses feminine radiance, they go, oh, there's a sense of utter attraction. The more radiant that radiance is, the more freely radiant it is, the more obsessed the man becomes with it. So a man could be married to a woman he loves totally, who's working at a job that necessitates her being in her masculine for 8 hours a day, and they have 4 kids, which necessitates both of them being in their masculine and feminine just to deal with the kids. These are just functional weight truths. So here's this guy whose essential life disposition is, one day I'm going to do what I really want to do. one day I'm going to be free. The masculine always thinks that one day they're going to be free. They're going to make enough money to be free. They're going to meditate enough and be free. There's always this one day I'm going to be free. Now, the feminine is always going, one day I'm going to be loved. One day I'm going to be loved. One day I'll be with someone who will love me. One day this guy will love me better. I'll hang in there. But one day I'm really going to be loved. Meanwhile, the masculine's going, one day I'm going to be free. One day. So the masculine's desire to be free is motivating his life. So here's a man. Now he sees a 18-year-old ski bunny. I don't know what you call him around here, but this is some, like, you know, she's never worked a day in her life, maybe, and so, you know, she's got no kids, no constraints, no work. So she's like, her radiance is still unencumbered, let us say. So she's incredibly radiant. Now most men who are still intact will walk into the room, see or feel this woman, and immediately their body will go, ooh. There'll be a feeling of enlivenment, of desire, of awakening. Guys, do you know what I'm talking about? Okay. Now, in our first stage culture, let me put it this way. In a first stage culture, men would go, hey, check out that chick. Nice ass. Fuck, nice ass. Wouldn't you like to take her? Mm-mm, yeah. Mm-mm. And so, and if the woman is in a first stage mode, she'll be like, yeah, they're checking me out. You know, go home feeling all, you know, yeah. You know. So that's the first stage mode. Second stage mode, which is probably much more common here, maybe not, I don't know, is men going, and inside they're going, woohoo! You know, and outside they go, you want to do some body work? Or something like that. And women, you know, that woman in a second stage culture would likewise notice them noticing, but, you know, doesn't really matter. Inside, she's like, but second stage culture. In a third stage culture, which again depends on people practicing and growing to be in the third stage, I will now describe a third stage practice that would apply to that situation. I hope this makes sense to you. It's a really powerful practice. If you're a man and you're in that situation, which, as I say, if you're intact, should happen, I don't know, 30, 50 times a day. It depends where you live, I suppose. But, right? I mean, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of beautiful, radiant women around here. I'd say 50 to 100 times a day. I don't know. So you see a radiant woman. Now, the thing that women have to understand is that men aren't thinking about a relationship. Men aren't thinking of anything, actually. Men are suddenly filled with this woman's light. It's as if they're in nowhere land, and now suddenly they're somewhere, and that somewhere is one of the most beautiful places they've ever felt. It's this fullness. It's this radiance. It's this kind of overwhelming energy. This is an interesting time for you to stand up. But we'll deal with that later. Third going on to first. So, a man can feel this blessing he's receiving from this woman's radiance, which is what it is, and feel that what he's getting from this woman is a sense, and every man will feel it a little different, but it's a sense of aliveness. It's a sense of love, even. It's a sense of vitality. It's a sense of inspiration. It's a sense of beauty. Do you know what I'm talking about, guys? I mean, it's hard to put words on your experience. These are certainly the things I experience. But it's like, it's good to be alive in that moment. I mean, here's this radiance. It's like, yes. Now, she has given you the gift of yes. You have to trust me that if you were to marry her, that yes would be much more complicated than in that moment. In that moment, she is a goddess literally blessing you with light. You start a relationship with her, she's still a goddess blessing you with light and everything else, which you already know exactly what is because you've been in a relationship. And then you'd be looking at another woman like that. So in that moment, when you feel her radiance, it's a gift. It's an absolute gift. She didn't set out to give it to you. She's just, let's assume, she's in a third stage moment. So she had woke up that day and adorned her body and felt the divine and felt herself alive as all of nature. And she is just walking like the wind blows and the leaves move and the rainbow shines. And she's living that way. And any man or woman who saw that kind of woman would feel blessed by her light. Everyone. So now men, in the first stage, go, I want to have sex with her. In the second stage, they'd kind of like act like it was no big deal. And in the third stage, they would breathe in that blessing. Not make a big deal out of it, but they would just breathe in that blessing, receive it completely, circulate that energy through their body, feel their deepest purpose in life, because no man's deepest purpose is to please a woman. But they'd feel their deepest purpose in their life, and then they can use that energy, use that inspiration to serve all beings. Then that woman knows she woke up that day, she opened as a rainbow, and her effect is that every man who sees her is serving everyone more because she's inspiring them. That's a third stage culture. That takes practice. That doesn't exist amongst everyday culture yet, but it certainly exists here and there, and all of us can practice. One day that will exist again. It's existed before. But one day that will exist again in our culture, and we are the people who will be doing it. So each of us, it's incumbent on each of us, for instance, on each man here, one, not to reduce desire to merely sexual desire. It is sexual desire because you want to merge with light. So there's a desire to bodily merge with this goddess, this light form. But it's not just that, because if you did that, you wouldn't want her anymore. I don't know how many of you have tried that. How long does it last? So what you really want is to merge with her totally, which you could actually do much more just breathing her radiance and feeling it entirely. And with practice, again, it's like anything, golfing, rock climbing, skiing, baking bread, you have to practice to do this. So you practice it and you become enlivened by the blessing of the feminine, not only by human women, but by rainbows and trees and human women. You're getting that blessing anyways, aren't you guys? You're doing something with that energy. Usually it goes into one of your heads and stops there in a dead end, and they both want to burst in some way. But if you circulate that energy through your whole body and offer it to the world from your heart, then every radiant woman becomes a blessing to the world through your gift, let alone their gift. But I'm talking about through the man's gift. You are converting her light into masculine direction and serving the world. Okay? So owning that hugeness, that depth of radiance that every man or woman has capable in them, and the depth of conscious presence and giving your deepest gift fearlessly through knowing your direction, is something that if you're not doing, you are suffering. And if you are doing, you are growing and opening. And the way the masculine and feminine does that is different. And some people are very balanced in their masculine and feminine, so they'll enjoy doing both equally. Most people tend to be either more masculine or more feminine when they grow beyond the second stage. And therefore, the gifts you give will have very different flavors. And unless we empower everyone to live their specific flavor freely, we are limiting ourselves. When we do allow that fullness, we're blessings. We're blessings to each other. Question? One second, there was a woman behind you first. Yeah.
Are you talking to me?
Yeah.
Okay. My question basically would be the third stage kind of individuals we're all, I think, in this room since we're here, are the kind of people working on becoming.
Well,
hopefully.
Capable of entertaining the notion for a few seconds anyways.
Yeah. And you're saying that is our evolution, that is not existing. Our society doesn't support that kind of individual right now, for example.
Well, there's not a lot of support, right. Obviously.
How do you see the reactions of society that is not ready for those kind of individuals affecting people? But like you said, we can maybe entertain it for seconds right now, let alone go out and live it and practice it. Yes, I know internally that's what we have to do, go out and live it, practice it, and not worry. But how do you see the society reacting to us and kind of making it hard for us to do that?
It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's your obligation to do it or you suffer. Society might make you a movie star and give you thousands of dollars a minute to be radiant,
Or call you a bimbo.
Well, like we just went through the thing, all first stage men will want to have sex with you and own you. All second stage men will pretend like it doesn't matter, but really it does. And all third stage men will be able to receive your blessing and gift everyone from it. And that's the way it always is, in every culture, forever. So, as a woman, you'll need to use some degree of feminine intelligence to know when do you want to show that. When do you, maybe there's sometimes it's better to be invisible for everyone's sake. Because it'll just cause confusion and pain. Look, I'm a fairly present man, but I don't walk up to every woman on the street and like, let me open you, baby. You know? Well, I do, but no. But I could. You know? That's inappropriate. It's inappropriate for you as a radiant woman to go around to every man and radiate. See, some, from the second... You know, it's, again, a very selfish thing to think you get to be radiant. Mm-mm. When you're feeling everyone, when you remember we talked about growing beyond your personal need, and then you kind of grow into a kind of sharing and goodness, and then you begin to feel like all bodies are your body. Remember we talked about that? Well, when all bodies are your body, you can feel how your radiance is affecting everybody. And if your radiance is creating pain, closure, or even first stage maniacalness, then for the sake of everyone, I mean, just naturally, you would naturally circulate your radiance in a different way and become less visible. And every woman knows how to show and how to not. And there's a difference between staying whole in your heart and just remaining invisible. There's a difference between that and contracting yourself in a tense way to kind of, you know, but it takes a third stage of disposition to be able to have your heart so open and so sensitive that you can feel moment by moment how you're affecting everyone and being responsible for that as an act of love. You may discover, as women have in the past, in other third stage cultures, that there might be times where you as an individual, and I'm not asserting this about you individually as a person, but you might say, I really want to show my full radiance and let men, third stage men, benefit by it. And so in the past there had been, for instance, temple dancers who in the temple would allow, and only men who qualified to get in the temple, who are practitioners, third stage men, would come, and they would sit and watch you dance, and you would show your radiance without any holding back. You would show God's radiance, you would show the radiance of the universe, and they would receive it and breathe it and offer to all beings, and in that circumstance you can certainly offer everything. But then when you leave the temple, you're in whatever culture you're in, and you also need to be sensitive and feeling everybody and what serves them.
Someone comments that drumming circles are great.
They could be. I mean, a lot of these New Age scenes are literally guys acting androgynous and wanting to have sex with everyone. How many people have been in a place like that? Raise your hand. It's like common. I mean, the guys are acting like, you know, well.
Oh, I didn't notice.
Well, you might not have been at one of these. I don't know. Maybe you've only been around third stage men, and there's monkeys flying out of your partner's butt. But, go ahead.
Would a third level society be a monogamous society?
In a third level society, each individual determines how they open as love. And in a third stage society, I would guess that monogamy would still be pretty large, widespread, but there would also be polygamy of various kinds. There would be serial polygamy, parallel polygamy, which there is now. I mean, people are divorced serially. There'd be celibates, and celibacy would be honored. There would be people who, you know, homosexual relationships that were either can some would be neurotic and some would be the biggest gifts of their lives. In certain cultures, there were men who just acted as women their entire lives. I mean, literally, they dress as women, act as women, and that was completely understood. They had a feminine essence, and that was their expression of their gift. So in a third stage culture, there's literally no should. In a third stage culture, you manifest that as a gift. However, in a third stage culture, there is also very, very strict consequences for failure of third stage practice. So, for instance, in the Chinese culture, once upon a time, when polygamy was common, having your limbs chopped off was not considered a rude punishment if a man couldn't bring all of his wives to sexual bliss constantly. Now, how many men in here can bring one woman to that sexual openness, you know? So the thing is, like, start where you're at, you know? And it's, there's a, someone used the word authenticity. I mean, if you can't have a third stage relationship with one person, there's no way you can with two. Really? So when all of your friends, when your closest friends, let's say you want five guys. Let's just say, you know, you have this idea like, well, you know, my biggest gift is the, you know. So if all of your friends see you with one man and they go, unbelievable, this man is totally open in consciousness and you're totally open as radiance and you're so abundant in your radiance that there's more than this guy could handle and use, and you'd both be better off and the universe would be better off if you shared that with four other guys, then give it a shot. But if you go to these other people and they look at your relationship and they go, sure, if that's what you want to do, be with other guys. That's a sign that you're not quite into that place. So there is no third stage should. There's only third stage authenticity. There's the feeling of somebody being open as radiance or being open as consciousness and spontaneously loving as that. And then you find out what forms are developed, what forms of relationships, what forms of business, what forms of child rearing. I sincerely doubt third stage child rearing would result in nuclear families all the time. I think community rearing of children would probably be much more common amongst people who are open and felt each other's needs. And, you know, so how we live changes as we grow in our depth of consciousness and radiance. So we are going to be bringing it to a close soon, but we do have a few more minutes. Yeah, go ahead.
Why did you choose the topic sexuality and spirituality?
I don't know if I ever chose it like that. A number of years ago, I was working with people in yoga and meditation and just spiritual growth, and I realized that the last part of everyone to grow is their sexuality. That there were great teachers who were really sexually messed up, and there were great beings who had just never addressed intimacy. And in fact, most spiritual teachers don't address the nuts and bolts of intimacy very deeply. And so it felt like the last part of people to grow. And then when I started working with it, I realized it's one of the most fascinating parts of life to people. So I thought, hey, I could use that like bait. I mean, if we called this whatever, you know, dishwashing and spirituality or something, I mean, who would come? But because we call it sexuality, but all of us can feel, you know, the doorway sexuality is into this openness of consciousness and radiance. So it works. Well, yes. Go ahead. Yes. That's a good question. The question is, if I hear it correctly, is what about people who either are at the same level for second or third stage, or one's at a different level than the other in relationships? First of all, I would say that 90% of those times are misperceptions. That if you ask the circle of friends of that couple, that the person who thinks they're in the higher level isn't, according to the circle of friends, if they're being honest. And I would say that eliminates 90% of those cases. In the 10% of cases that are left, where authentically one partner grows, let's say, or one partner shrinks, so to speak, and there's a difference in level, then that's where this art that we've been describing becomes so important, because these are magnetic levels. For instance, I could make all of you move into the first stage by me clinging to the first stage. If I pulled out a gun and demanded all of your money, which is about as first stage as you could get, most if not all of you would move into your first stage fear, or maybe pull out your gun back or whatever it is. Or I could resonate all of us into the second stage. I could talk about how wonderful and sharing is, and let's all drum together and dance and enjoy ourselves. And we go, yeah, that sounds good. And, you know, we could create this kind of second stage, men and women just being together and enjoying life situation. Or, which is what I'm trying to do, is to hold pretty steady in a third stage to keep the conversation in all of our hearts as open into the third stage as possible, even though there's tendencies to not do that. So these are magnetic levels. The whoever is stronger in their level will pull the other one there. So if You happen to be the one at the higher level in the moment. It is your responsibility to maintain that place of openness in spite of your partner's whatever you want to call it. If you don't, it's very easy to collapse down to their level and fight at their level, or whatever you want to call it. Because it's very easy to then think you're at the third, let's say you think you're at the third stage, you think your partner's at the second stage, and if you have to say, what do I do about it, you're at the second stage. So now you're not at the third stage anymore, and there's literally nothing you could do to move him into the third stage. Because you're not in the third stage. So you need to stay in the third stage. And what that means then is to stay open in devotional love. Devotional in the third stage sense. I mean, devoted to life, devoted as life, devoted as the universe, devoted as the heart made huge, devoted as love itself, and to stay in that openness. And if this poor pecker guy can't open into that, then you shouldn't be with him, or you should realize your life is a sacrifice to stay with this poor pecker while you open his love, you know? But that openness is the only thing that will draw him up there. As soon as you go, you're in the second stage, it's over. There's no possibility of growing to the third stage because you're not in the third stage anymore. One measure of the third stage is that words are unnecessarily constraining. So if you find yourself trying to talk to your partner about how they're closed and how they need to open, you're in the second stage. Almost all, 99.99999% of all therapies are second stage therapies. They're about being whole, happy people. They're not about dissolving so that there's no sense of difference whatsoever.
When you are truly in the third stage, does it matter if your partner's in the second stage?
That's a great question. When you're in the third stage, truthfully, in the moment, which is a moment-by-moment thing, sometimes you are, sometimes you're not, you practice, then other people's closure does not collapse you. So your heart remains open as love, even if your partner is closed. So in other words, your heart's open, your partner closes, I hate you, or something. You don't go, well, I hate you. Or you don't go, leave me alone. Okay? So in that sense, it doesn't matter. You stay open. But it definitely would hurt your open heart to feel somebody closed with you. And so you might stay open and go, hurt, cry, weep, and stay open. So here's this guy or whatever hurting you because he's closed. That would hurt. I mean, that, you know, you've seen pictures of Jesus with tears coming down his eyes and that kind of thing. I mean, when you're open, you experience everything much more deeply. You have no barriers to the pain that unlove is. And so it would actually matter more, his closure, when you're in the third stage, in the sense of how deeply you would feel that pain in your heart. Because you're an open heart and thorns hurt, you know. Closure hurts. You want him, you want everyone to be open. You are love, and it hurts to feel someone refusing love. So it hurts tremendously, but it doesn't close you. So when someone hurts you and you can remain totally open with them, showing the hurt, that's a third stage moment. When someone hurts you so you close down, that's a first stage moment. When someone hurts you and you talk about it, you're really hurting me in an effort to change it, that's a second stage moment. When someone hurts you and you just continue radiating openness and love and showing your hurt, because it hurts, your eyes are open, your body is open, you're not like this, but your body remains open, your heart is open, and it hurts, and there are tears running. And here's a man now who can feel a woman wide open to him, and he is causing her pain. That's the ripest moment for a man to grow into the third stage with you. He can feel your openness, your heart, and how he is hurting you. And it's only in that moment that he feels both the result of his asshole, you know, he's being a jerk and it hurts you. He feels the pain he's causing and he feels the invitation of your openness simultaneously. He's invited into this openness. It's just like sexually open. You know, you're inviting him into your heart and you're not hiding how much he's hurting you. And when he can feel both of those at once, It's a very, very closed-down man who wouldn't open, or at least start to open into that, because he doesn't, no man wants to hurt you. If he's hurting you, it's probably because he's closed down. So when he could feel how he's hurting you, and he could feel your openness of love, he feels invited right in. Now the trouble is that most women, when they feel hurt, they think hurt is weak, and that what they need to do is defend themselves with anger. So the typical feminine response is hurt. Now in that kind of situation, men who prefer emptiness to fullness anyways, they go, television. Television. Boing to the television. You know, men will, because they don't feel your openness inviting them, they don't feel them hurting you, they're totally dumbfounded. What the hell are you so angry at? Because they're usually totally unaware of what they're doing. So he's this guy, he's bumbling, he's unaware, he hurts you. He doesn't know he's closed. But he's hurting you. If you can show that hurt and the openness, he could go, oh, whoa, and come into you fully with love. If he feels your anger, all he knows is that you're angry, and he'll go, why? Why are you angry? That's what men are always asking. Like, what did I do? What happened? Why are you getting angry? Because he doesn't know, why would you get angry? So you got to feel how your primary response is being hurt and catch that and allow that to show from your heart before you defend yourself in anger and punish him back for hurting you. Did you have another question?
Did we address the question of the man's desire to worship the goddess and at the same time desire for freedom? And
well, we addressed it. I think it could be infinitely addressed. But what is your question about that?
Well, I feel like at one point you were saying, should we go there? And we said yes, and then we went off on to another.
What is your question?
In that, that is probably, even with a third level man, those are the ultimate sides of him, right? Worship the goddess, be free.
Exactly.
So how do they connect? How does the third level man connect those?
Are you asking that for your man or for you?
I'm asking it in the sense that how would a third level man address that issue in a relationship?
Why do you want to know?
Because that would be the goal for
a man, but why do you want to know?
Because that would be the goal for the kind of man that I want to be with.
Okay, so that's a good question. So you want a man who what?
I do have a man who loves freedom, who freedom is very directly his mission.
Right, right, of course, sure.
And that is awesome.
Right.
I also want the goddess worshipped, and I also do experience.
Well, you want the goddess worshipped, or you want him to be attracted to you?
Both.
Okay, good.
Both,
good.
For sure.
Yeah.
But I think that there is, I think that's the challenge, is how does he get to experience his freedom and experience worshiping the goddess and it not conflict in?
Well, one part of it is you never have to concern yourself with that because you have to be a goddess to give him a chance.
Right.
So your side of that equation is to offer him your love and your openness just to give him the chance to choose between freedom and the goddess instead of between freedom and a whatever. Fill in the blank.
So they have to choose? Is that what you're saying? That third level man has to choose?
No. I'm going to get there. I just want to answer the thing that's going to make a difference to you first before I answer what will make a difference to him.
Okay.
Or any other man. What will make a difference to you is to give your fullest love all the time, whatever he's doing. And that's all you will ever be able to do. So I can feel your concern for him, and I'm going to answer your question as directly as I can, but the important part for you has nothing to do with that answer, because you're not giving him that opportunity yet.
I feel that, and I do agree with you. That is important to me.
Right. But now I'll answer it. Yeah. Only when a man realizes that his capacity to unite with the goddess and stay completely open is freedom, are the two the same. So when a man feels like his capacity to stay open with you while you're angry, while you're closed, while you're sexy, while you're everything, and feel consciousness through all of that, when he realizes that in fact his running away from you is a form of lack of freedom, when he realizes that his search for any other moment but the present one is a lack of freedom. What freedom means is that I am openness now. And now, and now, and now. And if somehow a woman makes him feel unfree, There's no better place to practice than with that woman. And when he can open with that woman, there's still no better place to practice than with that woman, because the tests and the radiance you give him as a woman are going to be a lot more and deeper than, in general, than what nature, for instance, can give him. Much more challenging in different ways, obviously. So that would mean, if such a man were like that, he would be happy with you and happy without you. Always. But that includes happy with you. And by happy, I don't mean glib. I mean deep. I mean happy with a capital H. He's free with you. He's free without you. And that's the kind of man you want. Now, in that, his desire for you is going to be largely based on your quality of energy. His sexual desire will be largely based on your quality of energy, period. And it's that simple, really. Did that sound right to you? Good. Okay. Did that answer your question?
Yeah.
Okay. But you understand your side of the deal,
right? Like you said, we could go into that one for a long time.
Yeah, we could.
That's... Because before you were talking about how...
Well, we don't have to go in before. Does it answer your question?
Yeah.
Yeah. If there's anything more, you could ask it, but you don't need to bring up the before. Okay. Well, I'd be happy to sign your books. Thank you for coming here. We'll see you 6 o'clock on Friday if you want to go deeper.